We are sitting on a whole pile of rocks above a small pond here, and we are surrounded by water dragons. They're popping their heads up all over the place. Can you first of all tell me what a water dragon is?
A water dragon is a large gamete lizard that is restricted to eastern Australia. You can see one of the males looking at us over there with the big heads, quite colourful, quite bold, and he's showing off for females, which are the smaller, more drab animals you see.
How can you tell that he's showing off?
He's doing a bit of posing, sticking the head up. They often do a bit of push-ups or head bobs.
So there's nothing much different between humans and these little water dragons, would you say?
That's right. Same story, different animal.
Can I ask you, how did you become interested in water dragons in the first place? They've obviously got a very attractive character in a way. Is that what drew you in?
Well, I think I study mostly reptiles, and I think this stems from a boyhood fascination for things that you can actually hold in your hand. It's very difficult to hold birds and mammals and even fish in your hand without special techniques. So I think I became interested in reptiles and frogs because you could hold them in your hand.
Let's get into your study. What kind of thing are you studying?
Our group is interested in a particular group of animals in which offspring sex is determined by egg temperatures. We call this temperature-dependent sex determination, or TSD. And this occurs in a number of reptiles, including all crocodilians, most turtles, and many lizards, as well as many species of fish. And it's in contrast to the genetic sex determination that mammals and birds have. In particular, we want to know how animals with TSD can meet the challenge of producing the right mix of boys and girls in the face of climate change.
And what have you found?
The reason this species is ideal for this sort of study is they range from hot tropical climates in Cooktown all the way down to the mountains south of Canberra, very cold climates. So essentially they've solved the problem of producing the right mix of sexes across different climates. We set out to try to find out what they've adjusted to produce the right sexes. And what we've found is that there are two things that differ dramatically between populations up north and down south. One is when the time of year that nesting occurs. For example, in your Cairns, the animals nest in September, whereas in Brisbane, they don't nest till October. In Canberra, they nest in November, and in the mountains, they nest in December. So this has a dramatic influence on the egg temperatures in the field. The other major finding was that where the eggs are laid is very different between the northern and southern populations. Up near Cairns, the eggs are laid in more shaded areas. And down south here, eggs are laid in very open spots, get a lot of sunlight. And so this may be the way in which the populations adjust to different climates to produce the right mix of boys and girls.
You must get pretty familiar with some of the specimens here. Can we walk around and have a little look at some of them?
Sure.
Okay, now, Sean, there's a little fellow who's been sitting underneath where we've been doing this interview the whole time, just staring at us. Can you tell me about this particular water dragon?
This is actually a fairly large male who is sort of holding his ground, which is typical of sort of male behavior, especially mating season is upon us. Now, he hasn't gotten to shed his skin and show off his colors yet. He'll be looking to do that soon so he can show off for the females, because you can see he's got to compete with that male over there and that male over there for a range of females here.
You can see that he hasn't shed his coat. How can you tell that?
Just by his drab colors. So the males, when they do shed, look like that one over there. Very nice green color on the backs and a bit of orange and green in the throat and a bit of black underneath.
Okay, can we go and see if we can find a female?
Sure.
Now, I can see a very quiet little girl over there. How do we know she's a girl?
She's much smaller and she's got a narrower head than the males. She doesn't have that wide, broad head. And they tend to have less of a sort of dominant stature about them, or position or profile. She doesn't hold her head quite as high. She's not really making a statement to other animals around her like the males are. Also, you can notice that she's quite distended, so she's actually full of eggs, and you can tell she's looking a bit fat at the moment.
Okay, now she isn't eyeballing us in the same way that that male was.
No, she's not too concerned about territoriality or holding a territory. The male has to hold the territory. He's got to make it worthwhile for a female to mate with him, so she's not so interested in that.
She has a very long tail, which I can see the full extent of from this position where we're standing above her. Is that quite normal for a water dragon?
It is quite normal, and the interesting thing is that it's laterally compressed. That is, it's a very thin blade-like tail, which aids in their locomotion in water, swimming.
Can you tell me a bit about that? They obviously spend a bit of time in the water.
In a more natural habitat along the river, they're often perched on rocks or in trees above the water, and they jump into the water to escape predators.
Do they swim for any other purpose?
They do sometimes spend the night underwater, which is quite interesting and needs more study. But mainly, their feeding is mainly above water.
I just saw a little fellow scamper up the bank there running, and he looks very, very comical. Is that a normal thing for water dragons to do, to run like that?
I think so, and there's a lot of grappling for territories here. Even the small fellas are going to be pushing even smaller ones out of the way. You see that posturing by that female? She's actually raising her pelvis up in the air and putting her head down. She's actually giving a submissive posture to the male just above her on the next rock. We think what she's saying is that she is submissive to the male. She'd like to bask on this rock, and she doesn't want to be chased into the water by him.
And does he usually abide by her message?
From what we've seen, usually, but sometimes the males are just bullies and they'll run every animal out of their little area